Welcome to the World Cup Minute, Day 14. My name is Brandon. We are without Josh today, but pinch hitting to mix our sports metaphors. We've got our good friend Dave. Dave joining us from the greater Boston area. Or would you, is that offensive, Dave, if I say you're from the greater Boston area? You're just proper Boston.
No, that's right, because Boston's about the size of Doha, from what I hear. It's very, very small, so practically no one lives in Boston, except for, I know, a couple friends, obviously, who are in the actual Boston vicinity. So greater Boston refers to Cambridge and the, you know, closer suburbs, which I'm a part of, including Somerville, where the Royals were just visiting, Brandon, as you know.
Sure, yeah. And we'll save it for our England-Senegal talk later on in the World Cup Minute. What's the World Cup vibe in that area, though, Dave? Are people getting nuts for it? I mean, there's a ton of bars in the greater Boston area. I'm feeling like it must be a good vibe.
Yeah, big. It's a good soccer town. Obviously, Matt Turner, New England Revolution player as of somewhat recently. But a lot of expats here, obviously, as well. A lot of college and post-grad people. Mm-hmm. A lot of good soccer bars, although like the main soccer bars are like Liverpool bars too. So I'm not sure how many expat English folk would have been in that US game. But no, certainly the big bars get packed right when they open. I'm sure as they do in Brooklyn as well for many of them, although you have bigger quantity.
I did go to Greenpoint, Brooklyn to watch the match with our friend Trevor. And, you know, you can go to lots of places in New York where they're like properly football bars opening 2 hours ahead of a 10 a.m. kickoff. We went to this place where they opened the doors at 10 a.m. for like as the whistle was blowing. We could see the match beginning through the windows, you know, because I think there are some places. Some places that just kind of cash in. Anyway, enough of the bar talk. Dave, we're a couple of Americans. It's a bit of a sober tone because the U.S. has been knocked out by the Netherlands. But just quick hit me, Dave, with your overall thoughts of the U.S. men's team with Berhalter, their performance overall today and in the World Cup and the viewpoint looking forward, because I think we're now like, this is the sound of like, as soon as that final whistle blew with US Netherlands, it was the sound of a million sports nerds suddenly solving the problem that is the US team. And this will happen with any nation that gets bounced from the tournament. What do we do wrong and how do we fix it? So, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, how good or bad is it?
I'm just going to want for what the future for 2026 or
where are we now? What's the heat check on the men's team? Like, are we in a pretty good place? Do you think?
Yes, I would say we're in a good place. So actually, I think that's interesting the way you said that, because there is a range of opinions of is there a problem or is there really no problem because we are on an upward trajectory where the youngest team. We are competing at the highest levels and we're where we're supposed to be. So in some sense, you could say that there's no problem. You could say that our tactics have been fine. The subs patterns have mostly been fine. The team camaraderie has been great. So in some sense, you could argue there's no problem. And Berhalter, Greg,
butchered that man's name. My God, even by always cheating standards.
I don't have to say it many more times because I think he'll be out. Which
you
I think is
so?
Actually
no,
I think,
no.
I think so. I think I think it's fine. So I would argue more on the good side that we are in a good place. Yeah. This match, we were outclassed. We were outcoached, but I would say only slightly. And you can look at even the X goals. We can rehash some of what happened, but it was a close match. Unlike Argentina, Australia, which what the score was very deceiving. That was really more of a 3-0 shellacking. This game obviously was very close. It could have gone either way in a different universe. And I think the betting markets had it right that we were about if play that game 10 times, the U.S. would probably win 3, maybe 4. Yeah. And so that's fine.
I agree with you, Dave.
What's your thoughts, Brandon?
Yeah, I was just going to say, was it closer than a 3-1 score projection? Because like within the first 5 minutes, Pulisic has that onside chance that just fell to him. And it was one of those moments where you kind of feel bad for Pulisic in a way where he didn't expect this chance to fall to him. But this is what the U.S. has lacked in the tournament, is a cold as ice attacking asset. Pulisic needed to put that away. And like a player like Clint Dempsey or Landon Donovan, just to reflect on generations past, may have done that. And then Netherlands goes on to score against the run of play. Generally, yes, Netherlands were a class above the U.S. And the problem really was in the attack. I think we got exposed in the defense only because we were trying to push a few more men forward with Destin and Robinson. But Berhalter is in an interesting situation. I'm kind of blown away to hear you say he's like definitely out, because I feel like the U.S. now will find themselves in a situation where Berhalter kind of has to see the project through, Gareth Southgate style. Because what I have seen, you've talked about going through the qualification process for the U.S., Berhalter has not been perfect, but he ultimately saw the project through. We finished below Canada, but as far as CONCACAF teams in the World Cup, the U.S., I think, by far and away was the strongest team. And Berhalter has put himself in that Southgate sort of bind where he is going to either A, be beholden to the system that he puts together, or B, try to fit his best players on the pitch. Now, you know, England is having this issue where you can't get Foden and Grealish and Kane and Rashford and Bellingham, all of these guys out, and Sterling, all out there on the same time. And I think Berhalter has done a good enough job of ceding ego to the system that he's put together. Is the system not working? I see the system is working, because when you watch the U.S. fall as they did to the Netherlands, you could easily see why. And I think it's been a long time since the U.S. has been in a position where you could easily just say, fix this position and fix that position, find a better player for the number nine, find a better player for the central defenders, and we're in a much better spot. So why does Berhalter have to go?
Well, I think you had the great, yeah. If only I had changed two or three of those picks, I would have hit my parlay, right? You know, if only yes. the U.S. Yes. had, you know, one of these outstanding players besides right. Christian. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. Berhalter is good enough. He is mm-hmm. an average international coach in my eyes, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And that's better than half. And all I'm comparing him to is Jesse Marsh. I'm assuming it's either Greg or Jesse Marsh. And if we stay with Greg, that's fine. He's average, and mm-hmm. we should continue improving. I think Jesse Marsh could add a little more to the team. So I'll say I wouldn't be crazy mad. I'm not one of these like Greg out people, to be honest. I mm-hmm. think he's average and he's fine. So I would say one other thing. You mentioned CONCACAF us being better. For the YouTube folks, and if you're not on YouTube, like and subscribe. I'm wearing my CONCACAF scarf. Okay.
I just love the guy who doesn't support a team. He just supports a conference. Just a legend. Yes, you're a legend, Dave.
I mean, so many memories of CONCACAF in the World Cup. So we'll say goodbye.
Did that scarf, when it arrived in the mail, Dave, did that scarf try to slide tackle you to injury?
Yeah, it was in the mail. It was in the mud. It was really weird. The postman just put it right in the mud. Sure. It was hard to get to. It was a terrible
poorly
condition.
Poorly lit, not delivered in 4K. I get it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, I had to walk down to the, exactly, street. I mean, but you also said the other thing is the, we should go back to the two-minute opportunity. But also you said, you know, the Netherlands goal was against the run of play. Well, was it? Because now we know, like, well, the whole tactics was we know how you're going to attack us. We know your midfield. We know your wingers. We know how our defenders. And by the way, Daley Blind, before the freaking goal he scored, was just like so good, like just so class at defending. So that's where I'm saying the tactical wise, like, you know, they knew what was coming. It wasn't shocking. It was hard for us. We're like, just as we predicted, the Netherlands are going to park the bus against the U.S. Like, what? But that really was kind of the plan. So I don't know if it was really so maybe against a run of play, but not against what they expected. And the 2-minute opportunity, I mean, that was the game in hindsight. I mean, even when it happened, it was so shocking. You're like, well, obviously he's offside. Nope, he was onside because of Blind up top, not to his fault. It was so shocking. And then you just realized that was it. Like, I think it hit all of them. Like, I said, I actually predicted, I was like, was that a 0.4 XG? And actually it was like 0.42, I guess was someone said. Nice, and
Dave, who knows what would have happened?
I'm like a computer, Brandon.
I'm so glad you're here, Dave.
But what would have happened? I mean, you know, even if we score that, what would have happened? Would we have turtled and let in two more after that? And, you know, like that's definitely a possibility. Maybe. Or would we have learned our lesson from Wales and continued to attack and it might have been a tie or maybe even get another one? I mean, you never know. But really, that was so shocking. It happened so fast. I don't blame Pulisic, but man, it's just when you're an underdog and you have you miss like a Lukaku type opportunity. Sorry, I had to get that dig in there, but that was really the game and it sucked because it was just
so. To be
so
fair, Dave, Lukaku did put us out with his goals in 2014. So, you know, we can dig all we want because we've been on the battering end of the Lukaku battering ram, and that's fine. All due respect to the man. It was one of those, this is like such a homer episode of the World Cup Minute because I watched intently that entire 90 minutes and I have like zero memory of anything that the Dutch did. I can only remember looking at the good and the bad things that the U.S., any fan of any nation, I think would relate to that. But, I mean, you have to give credit to Depay coming back into fitness and scoring that goal. As you said, Dave, Daley Blind, a guy that you could easily write off, who's kind of like past it in terms of a blockbuster career. His finish was great. You could kind of see that coming. Even so, I mean, we can play out on a victorious note. The guys who emerged as great players for the U.S., Matt Turner, he let three goals in, none of which I would say are his fault, and it could have been worse because you remember at the later stages of that game, Matt Turner made this incredible double save to kind of keep us in it. And throughout the tournament, I think it's been weird being an American fan where we're used to having the best goalkeepers in the world and the worst outfielders. Tim Howard, Brad Friedel, Casey Keller, Tony Meola. Matt Turner, welcome. Welcome. I'm glad to see the back of Zach Steffen. Matt Turner is our guy. And I think Musa is also a star of this tournament. And Tyler Adams, captain, legend, to see him break down at the 90th minute whistle, I think just shows. You saw this with even with South Korea with the good news when they progressed to the knockout stages, guys in tears. To appreciate how much is poured into this tournament by these guys physically and emotionally. And I think Tyler Adams gave everything. And I'm so thankful that he's the American captain and he's a young guy. And lastly, and then I'll let you give out your honors, Dave. Tim Ream. I'm wearing my Fulham shirt right now. And Tim Ream is a consummate professional and a veteran. When Fulham were promoted last season, he knew that he'd been embarrassed in the Premier League in promotions past for Fulham, and he said, you know, fair play, I feel like I've got a point to prove if management will let me do so. He's had a great season thus far in the Premier League, and he was just a rock for us. I do want to tip my hat to Tim Ream for this tournament. Great stuff.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Dave, who is your who's your MVP? I would say this. Do you agree? Weston McKennie did not show up for this World Cup.
Okay, this so you kind of you stole my point there almost.
Okay, go on.
We didn't talk about this beforehand at all. We just started recording, but you sent me up for the alley-oop. But like, I was gonna say the first thing was in the qualification process, Weston McKennie was our best player, and I think a lot of probably casual fans didn't bother watching because CONCACAF, but McKennie
was not legends like you, Dave, that buy the scarf.
Yeah, grinding the tape, but. No, McKennie was, if not our best, one of our best players during all of, and obviously he's a world-class player. He is not fit. Gio Reyna was not fit. Pulisic, for this game, was not fit. We don't know to the extent, but he obviously was not fit. So you take those three, which are presumably our best players, if you'd said before the tournament, they are not fit for this game, and we stood up and gave a fighting chance. That's all, like, you know, a good thing to look forward to. So, yeah. I was disappointed. McKennie had a pretty, I would say pretty bad tournament. He didn't have any shockers, but he wasn't good. Like he did stuff. He did Weston McKennie stuff, but he could only play 60. He was pretty limited. It was kind of a bummer. He had one good shot attempt, if I remember. So those are my three that we come back strong with those three healthy plus whatever.
Wild card here, Dave, might be Tim Weah, who I think had a good tournament, not an amazing tournament, but he scored an incredible goal against Wales, and I think he's class. Like, you can tell, like, if you compare him to Josh Sargent or a Haji Wright up front, different position, but I think Weah has a level of class, and I think if he can actually just step it up with his career, and play against he's at Lille right now, and you know you'll get some tougher games in Ligue 1, but I think he can level up. So the US, they've got an interesting path toward the next World Cup in 2026 because we're already qualified. This is we're basically Qatar now, Dave. Can we raise our standards to the level of Qatar? But we will not have to go through a grueling CONCACAF qualification process. We will play those teams. But what can we do? Will Berhalter stick around? Will we have new management? Are these players going to be able to grow in development? I do think the overall takeaway is for the U.S. to have failed to qualify last tournament and to immediately be back, if not beyond where we were 8 years ago, I think is a huge victory. So that's great. Any final words about U.S., Netherlands? How far do you think the Dutch are going to go based on this performance? They will play Argentina. Let's note that.
Yeah, I will say, and this was my one call about Argentina-Netherlands preview. I would say just skip the first 30 because just spend time with your family, meditate, give thanks to what you're, for your life.
Just, it's going to be like an NBA game, basically.
It's going to be the Simpsons meme of passing between the midfielders for the first 30 minutes of that game of just it's going to be the immovable force versus the, slow buildup. That's my prediction. Although, there's going to be drama. With Messi involved, and I hope Argentina win personally, but, I'm not looking forward to watching that match particularly, although there should be some dramatics. I feel like, is that your, before we finish, I will put a wraps on the U.S. and I think it's very fair of us to be Homer on this for obvious reasons. When I talk about players' fitness and injuries, every team has fitness, injuries, niggles, players that didn't even make the tournament, as we all know. So I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm just pointing out that one of the US's Achilles heels is we have a thin squad. We don't have two 11s like you know, the big boys, you know, Brazil mm-hmm. and England, like you mentioned, that have, they could field multiple teams that are better mm-hmm. than us realistically. So yeah. we don't have that. So that is particularly hurt us. And I think the good thing, and I'll again wrap this up, the good thing is this is another cycle, another year where even the stone cold average or casual, I should say, sports fan who tuned into this tournament, everyone knows we need a striker. So if, for heaven's sakes, if we have not figured this out to some degree before the next World Cup, like yeah. it, there'll be hell to pay, because now there will be eyeballs and more interest. And I think that only is good. You know, I yeah. think interest, pressure, more pressure, not too much pressure, but enough pressure to, hey, there's eyeballs. We're not taking any more of this crap of like, we need to figure out how to yeah. run a freaking set piece. If we don't have, you know, a guy who can head the ball, we need more inventive set pieces. We need ways to finish. And now people know we need to figure that out. And I'm excited to see what we do.
Yeah. It's like our buddy, Mike Crowder. He messaged us saying, are you guys going to talk about, you know, the discussion of what if the next Ja Morant were to play for the US men's team? And that's the beauty of the World Cup in a country like the US, where football isn't the primary sport, is the exposure that the World Cup gets here may inspire some. You know, we need one 15 or 16 year old to be watching the World Cup and say, you know what, let's go. I'm going to be that number nine. Now, it's like a mail order competition to get this level of talent. But
yeah, we should have an American Idol like TV series or something, I guess. But for those that don't live in the U.S., there is an actual thing, and Brandon didn't make this up, of every time we watch a soccer game, all the regular people who don't watch soccer normally, the sports folks, they turn up and they literally say, unironically, not as a joke, we should have LeBron playing in this team. You should have Michael Jordan. You know, we should have all these guys on the U.S. soccer team. We dominate. Yeah. And then what happens in this Argentina-Australia game? Freaking Messi nutmegs the guy who's 6'6", which is what would happen if any NBA player were on a soccer pitch, yep. like instantly. So anyone not in the U.S., that's what we're dealing with here. Like this level yeah. of like idiocy with stuff. But a side note, U.S. should be the best team handball team in the world. We should have the best team
no
handball
excuses.
Squad. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous that we cannot make the Olympics in team handball. But put that aside. But we should be able to find
no excuses.
A relatively tall striker, I think.
right on. Yeah, back to Argentina, who beat Australia. I did my parlay today, Dave, was Australia-Argentina to finish as a draw in 90 minutes and for Messi to score. I was feeling vibes during that first half because I thought it was on. My feeling is I think you're right about Argentina. It takes them 30 minutes to warm up because they are like a virus. It's like watching that movie Outbreak or Contagion, where it takes Argentina are only going to rise to the level of their opponent. That seems to be the tactic. They feel out the opponent. They're like, okay, this is what it's going to take to beat them. It's going to take Matt Ryan doing something completely stupid, which you probably could have drawn up on a whiteboard, to be honest with you. But I think that's something that makes this Argentina team a little hard to sort of project how far they're going to go into the tournament, because it really does come down to the opposition against them. So credit to Australia. We'll have a few Aussie fans listening, and you guys should definitely be proud of the way it goes, even though Dave basically dissed the Socceroos and how that result should have been 3-0.
Facts. I mean, they did what they could. They had one really good chance, like legit chance, when that one, I forgot the best name. He turned into Messi for like 5 seconds. Yep. That was pretty sweet. The goal was a completely preposterous own goal if you missed it. So the scoreline was a bit flattering to the Socceroos. Argentina, that's a great point of playing to the level of your competition. So if they can get past Netherlands, who I think Netherlands stepped it up, you know, against us. So credit to them. So if they step it up and give Argentina a fight, I think, and Argentina make it through, then that's good for them, because then they'll play good teams the rest of the way. But I mean, that's really a reflection of Messi. And we all know how Messi plays. He just lollygags around for a while until he has to do something, and then he does something and he's messy. And that's a reflection of the leader of your team. There was a moment when Emi Martinez was trying to play like a long ball out of the box, and he just skied it sort of out of bounds. And Messi was just doing his flat-footed Messi thing, and he didn't move an inch. He just saw the ball take off and just looked and just watched it and just didn't move. Like, he's like, it's not worth my ounce of calorie.
No, do you think Messi's got like, he's got like the RoboCop vision where he sees like an infrared target on the ball, projecting the trajectory of it. And he's like,
going out. Yeah, he's got the Wimbledon Hawkeye. Like, yeah, he's like, ball is going out. Yeah. Like, do not worry. So totally. It's just, they're kind of like an anaconda. They just lull you in, pass it around. Yep. Like, we'll like do the surgical strikes. I mean, it was very funny. There were what was the score? 2-1 or whatever. And they were just battering the Aussie goals just at the end. They could have scored like another 2 or 3 at the very end. It was crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Julian Alvarez, I'm pleased to see him as somebody who struggles behind Erling Haaland in the Premier League at Manchester City. Like, this guy is so good. So I'm glad he's getting some shine in the World Cup. All right, let's do a little quick preview of day 15, and then we can get out of here, Dave. We've got France v. Poland. I mean, that one seems like, why are we even? Let's run a simulation in Football Manager. France is going to destroy Poland. It's almost a crime that Poland actually got through the group stage. A little bit like Messi in his walking mode, but, Lewandowski, I'd love to see him. He is an exciting player to watch, even when Poland are a bit of a drab affair. And then you've got England Senegal, which should be an incredible match. Josh mentioned this yesterday, day 13 of the World Cup minute. Are England already assuming they get beyond Senegal without Mane, though? They feel like a diminished side, but they've looked good in the group stage. England is going to find this to be kind of a tricky match, right? To state the obvious, right, Dave?
Yeah, I think so. And I like your other World Cup minutes. I think I agree with your analysis that Senegal is a more scary team at that point than the Netherlands to many degrees. I mean, they got both.
I like
both
the implication
starred.
There, Dave, by the way, that you listen to all the World Cup minutes and you agree with everything that's been said on them. So if you could please put that in writing in an iTunes review, we'd be very grateful. Thank you.
Well, and more importantly, go to YouTube, like, and subscribe if you want to see the scarves.
There we go, Dave. All right. Yeah, sorry. Well, I interrupted your thoughts on Senegal there. Yeah, they're pretty good.
No, they obviously have Premier League talent, as did US when we played England. And so, they have a fighting chance, but I would really want to see England just play their best. Obviously they were flat against US and, didn't have much else to do after that. So, I want to see England really perform to their level, as you said. Don't play down to the competition, just really attack the game. And it'll be an interesting squad selection. I don't know the tactics. I don't know what formation is good against Senegal. I won't pretend to know that, but it will be interesting to see the squad selection. And I'd like to see them really just come out and attack the game.
I think that's a good way of looking at it. Now, we were a little cynical talking about France-Poland, but what we ultimately want when we're previewing the next day's matches is we want to see great players do great things. So, and I think France, England, Senegal, and Lewandowski alone have these abilities. So if you didn't have any skin in the game in day 14, I hope you enjoy the football on day 15 and we see some goals. Dave, you're a beautiful man. Go to YouTube to see Dave in the flesh, and you're a great friend of Always Cheating. We love you. Thanks for joining us today. And Josh and I will be back for day 15. Dave, thanks again. Any last words?
Thank you for having me, and talk to you and Josh soon.
Man, that was really, really weak. I think you can do better, Dave. Give us something like, I don't know, what would you say in Beantown, in Boston, if you as you're wishing your fellow sports fan luck in the next Celtics or Patriots match? Give us a real Boston England, sort of a thing.
Oh, Brian, in this England-Senegal game's gonna be freaking wicked pissa. You don't want to miss it.
There we go. All right, guys. Take care. See you tomorrow.